You're listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller. On March 22nd and 23rd, over 1,000 youth, their adult teammates, and fans of robot competitions from across southwestern Ontario will descend on the University of Waterloo to compete in the Waterloo District First Robotics Competition, a qualifying event for the provincial competition in early April. FIRST, which stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology, is a U.S.-based nonprofit with program participants in over 100 countries. On their website, firstinspires.org, the organization describes its mission as preparing, quote, young people for the future through a suite of life-changing youth robotics programs that build skills, confidence, and resilience, unquote. At this year's qualifiers at UW, 8 teams from around the region will join 32 other school and community teams entering robots in competition with and against each other through a round-robin-style tournament. On the first day, teams are randomly selected among the competitors for 3-on-3 matches to score the most points. On the second day, competitors can choose their teammates based on how their robots will work together to form the strongest team. According to the FIRST Robotics Canada website, the FIRST Robotics Competition was in 2002 in Mississauga, with the first district event held at the University of Waterloo in 2005. The Waterloo Wellington FIRST website shows local teams started competing in 2008 and that over 200 youth are part of the 8 local teams this year. This show features an interview with Professor Maud Gourbet, the director of the Biomedical Engineering Program at the University of Waterloo and a long-term volunteer and member of the steering committee with Waterloo Wellington FIRST. Dr. Gourbet is a mentor of the KW-based and competition-bound robotics team, the 2702 Rebels. She discusses the competition, the importance of applied STEM education, and efforts to address the underrepresentation of women and non-binary folks, as well as Indigenous, Black, and other racialized populations in STEM disciplines and occupations. Here is the interview. Could you please introduce yourself and tell me about the FIRST Robotics Competition going on at the University of Waterloo March 22nd and 23rd?
I'm a professor at the University of Waterloo, but I'm also a mentor on a local team called Rebels 2702, and I'm also part of a consortium, actually, where we have 8 of our local teams in the Waterloo-Wellington region who compete at this event, and actually it's kids in high school that build robots for 10 weeks and come to Waterloo to compete with another 32 teams to win awards and also win a chance to go to the provincial in Mississauga.
Can you tell me a little bit about what these bots are going to be doing?
It's an interesting competition because every year the rules and the games are different. And the way it works is that early January, FIRST Robotics, which is a not-for-profit organization in the States, released the games basically with a set of rules. And the students have about 8 to 10 weeks to build a robot that's around 48 inch, I would say square or rectangle in a way, about 120 inch height, 125 pounds. And it has to do certain things. And this year, the game is about shooting rings in two areas, one that's high up and it's called a speaker, and then one is on the other side where it has to drop the ring in there. And they work in an alliance of robots. So basically, it's not like a battle bot at all. Alliance of 3 robots work together towards winning a 2.5-minute match. 15 seconds of that match is autonomous. And the rest is actually you have robot drivers and operators that will operate the robot on a fairly large field and actually play defense and offense to be able to score and get points. And at the end of the game, the robot also have to hang on a chain and they get more points as part of it. So there's a lot of strategy around the game. There's a lot of excitement because you're part of a team. You're either on the blue alliance or the red alliance, and that changes. And then towards the end, so there's qualification games that occurs on the Friday and the Saturday morning. And on the Saturday early afternoon, you get to pick the alliance you're going to be with. So the top robot team gets to decide who they're going to alliance with to play against the other alliance of 3 robots. And so there's a lot of strategy around that.
So teams don't know ahead of time in the first round who they're playing with.
The first day, it's always randomized alliance. So you never know who you're going to play with. And so while there are a few students on the field, and that's where, you know, the robots play, there's students in the stand that are actually looking at every single robot on the field so that their scouts, basically very similar, you know, to a hockey team or basketball team where the scouts and looking at how a player plays. Here, you're looking at how the robot plays so that when you call upon to decide who you want to play with, you actually know very specifically how well the robot can score, if they can drive well, if they can drive fast, are they good defense, are they good offense, and so on. So yeah, it's a really interesting experience for the student because not only it's related, you know, to building a robot, but there's also a lot of strategy as part of it.
On March 22nd, 23rd, how can people watch the events?
One of the great things is that it's a free event that takes place at the University of Waterloo in the physical activity complex, where you can come in and watch the game. You can also actually watch it online by going to the Twitch channel and looking for First Robotic Canada Waterloo Qualifier. And there you get to see the robot playing on the field. Coming to the events, I would say, is highly recommended because it's really hard to describe. There's so much energy with, like, there's more than 1,000 students that are basically cheering for their team and their robots to win in those alliance. And so it's really like being at a sports game, but it's for robots. And it's for robots working together and in teams. So it's really exciting. There's loud music, there's mascots, there's cheering, there's dancing. So it's really, it's worth coming. It's really hard to describe.
I see on the WW First webpage that some of the teams have been around and active for over a decade. Could you tell me about some of these teams that are competing from the region here?
We've got 8 local teams. The first event started in 2005. Our local teams started in 2009, I believe. The way it works is that you start a team and it could be a community team. So where it's a team that regroups high school students from different high schools. And so the Rebels is a community team. The other team that we have in the region are linked to an high school team. So we have Team Dave, for example, that is from St. David's Catholic School. We've got the CyberCab that are at Woodland Christian School. There's a team in Elmira in the school district. And so each team is associated with either a community or within a school. And basically the way it works is that we gather students and they work basically, I would say almost year long, because not only there's a time from the competition in January, but there's also a very strong element of training the student that are coming into the team so that by the time they come to the competition time in early January, they have actually acquired some of the skills. So they're going to learn how to do mechanical design. They're going to learn some marketing skills too, because you have to do a lot of fundraising to support your team. There's also going to be other elements around problem solving, especially when you're going to be looking at the strategy around designing your robot. And so often the team works from, you know, October till December, and then they move into the competition season as part of that. And they also, one of the important component of being on a first team is also sharing your, I would say, your passion and your excitement in working in the STEM area. And so there's a lot of outreach that goes along with this. So they will go into the library and host Lego robotics, for example, or they will contribute to, they will be at parades and show off their robots so that you can demonstrate that there's fun also and excitement in being in a first robotics team.
Are you in the crew for any of the teams? Yeah, how are they composed?
Each team has anywhere between, I would say, 10 to 40, 50 student, high school student, anywhere from, there's a few grade 8 to grade 12. There tends to be more grade 9 to grade 12. And you're also working along with mentors. And so a lot of the skills that you're going to be learning around, for example, you know, how to use the lathe. So there's a lot of skills around the trades because you have to build those robots. Like you have to cut those pieces, you have to drill the hole, you have to tap the holes. And so they work along with mentors that could be professional that are working in industry, but also alumni from team that were in first before will come and mentor those students. And so you work along with the high school student and the mentor. And so there's this really interesting relationship of mentorship and leadership that can be built around that for the student that are part of the team. Because as a senior student on a team, you will then help a younger student to get to learn the various area of FIRST Robotics.
Professor Gourbet then shared a bit more about the structure of FIRST Robotics competitions, describing the qualifying process.
The way FIRST Robotics works, and in Ontario, we have about 138 teams in Ontario in various area. The first event in Ontario in 2005. And since then, the number of team has spread to a level that we need more events in various areas. So, for example, there was an event at Newmarket last week where I judged. There's an event at McMaster 2 weeks after our event at Waterloo. And so the team, as they compete, will compete in two events as qualifier, what we call district event. And then depending on the number of points that they gain based on how well they did in the game, but also the number of awards they will gain depending on how creative their robot was or how good of team spirit they have, they get awards, and then they can move to the provincial in Mississauga. So there's about 15 qualifier in Ontario right now. Yeah, so there's 138 team, and we have 8 team in the region, and it's we're hoping to grow it because it's a really fantastic program for high school students.
Is there a constant need for mentors then to be able to grow the program?
So there's a need for mentors, but there's also a need for space because you need to be able to have a team of students that can work on a robot. And so those kind of go end in end is being able to find a location where you can meet with your team, could be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 students with the mentor to be able to actually build that robot. And often that's where it's sometime, you know, every school works with a FIRST team or with a community team, then you need to find a space where you have access, you know, after school, on the weekend, potentially a little bit later at night, especially when you're closer to the competition. So those go end in end, and there's always a need for a mentor, not only from, you know, from the engineering and technical perspective, but also helping students from the marketing side to help with fundraising. There's a lot around having logos for the team and building marketing material. And so there's also needs for mentor like all across the different area from logistic to marketing to fundraising.
You are working with the local FIRST organization to promote robotics among elementary and high school aged youth. Now, why are you focusing on the youth?
It's really important is that we all know where we live in a complicated world and trying to give them real world experience in relation to, you know, building a machine, working under deadlines, learning critical skills around teamwork, critical thinking in an environment. And so we're really trying to inspire the next generation to be ready to tackle any of the challenge that we see. And it could be around climate change. It could be around developing the new cars, the new medical technology that's going to cure cancer, for example. And so we are focusing on the kids to inspire them to go into the field of science and technology, engineering and math, to actually help develop solution that's going to help our world.
Now, there's long been observation of STEM disciplines being male dominated and in North America, specifically by white men. Are there actions you and WWFIRST take to promote access to underrepresented groups, such as women, non-binary folks, and along other metrics like Indigenous, Black, and other racialized groups?
We just started collecting this data. One of the thing, again, is understanding, you know, what are some of the barrier and the challenges that minorities and female, you know, being one, you know, I know sometimes it's hard when it's you're surrounded by white male, and how do you interact and how do you learn? Because there's always, you have to show that you don't always know everything. And so the environment that we work in is really related to mentorship. And so there's also that element that helps attract also, because they are leaders and role model in each of the team that we have. So we have about 29% female, actually, and our visible minority is around 46%. We have 2% indigenous. So we are starting to know how and how do we recruit them is through the event that we run, and also trying to provide an environment where students feel safe and supported. Often some of the barriers are around cost. So it's trying to ensure that, you know, the students who are joining those team can also attend the event, can be present. And so there's ways that each team will actually support students who don't potentially have the financial means to be able to go to some of those events. As part of the outreach that we do often, you know, this is where you're going to have role model being either a student on the team or also some of the mentors. And so it's trying to find that balance to attract students and provide them with a safe environment. One of the things also that's really important is, although FIRST Robotic is really great from that perspective, the younger you can start and get people excited, almost the easier it is to feel that you belong, because you have experience in this. And so one of the things that is also great as part of, you know, Waterloo Wellington FIRST is that we're also supporting the FIRST LEGO League team in the area and trying to increase that. And those are for younger students. So it's anywhere from grade 4 to grade 8. And so that allows them to, you know, build a small robot, work on a project, learn the engineering design system, and attract actually students that may feel that they may not know what it is, or they may think it's too complicated to actually come into the field. And so the younger we get to them, the better it will be.
The interview ends with Dr. Maud Gourbet, quote unquote, highly recommending that folks take in the action at the competition on March 22nd and 23rd.
As I say, it's going to be busy because it's at the same time as Waterloo Open House, the university. So come early and maybe use public transport. But I would highly recommend, and it's Friday and Saturday. And so you can come anytime between, it's usually between 9 and noon and then 2 to 5 where the games are with the robot. And it's a great, really fun event to be at.
You are listening to an interview with Professor Maud Gourbet, the director of the Biomedical Engineering Program at the University of Waterloo, and a long-term volunteer and member of the steering committee with Waterloo Wellington FIRST. Dr. Gourbet is a mentor on the KW-based robotics team, the 2702 Rebels, who will be competing in the FIRST Robotics Competition at the University of Waterloo on March 22nd and 23rd. The event is free to attend for the public or can be viewed online at bluealliance.com/webcasts. And we'll be kicking off each day at around 9 a.m. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in.
This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.